So I am here with Paula and Nicole, and Nicole is a housing mobility counselor with Inclusive Communities Project, and Paula is one of the families that Nicole worked with, who yes. is using her voucher for the betterment of her life. Was that right? Would you say that?
I did, yes, and it was amazing, yes.
All right. Now tell me about the first time you guys connected with each other.
Oh, it's been many, many years ago, probably maybe 10 or 15 years ago when I first met Nicole, and she came in and told me about ICP, and I think at the time it was to help with down payment assistance or moving cost assistance. And so it was very integral to us because we needed it for turning on all your utilities and things like that, and having to put out so much, you know, even though you're on Section 8, there are programs. I mean, there's money that you have to come up with. And so that helped us tremendously. That was my first time meeting Nicole. She came to my house, interviewed me, and stuck with me the whole time I was on the program.
All right. And so where do you live right now, Paula? What city?
In Little Elm, Texas.
All right. And where did you live? Have you always lived in Little Elm, or where did you live before that?
The first time I met Nicole, I think, was Dallas. We moved from Dallas to Garland and from Garland to Plano. And so she kind of popped around with us to all the different places. And so, she came to, was it Plano? I can't remember if it was Plano or Dallas the first time we met.
I believe it was Plano.
Was it Plano? Okay. Yeah, and she came over and we had the conversation. I was really sick at that time, so I appreciate you being patient with me. But she came in and just was always very calming spirit. So always just came in and just kind of explained the program to us, and it was awesome. It's been a great match for us.
So those are quite a number of Dallas area cities you moved to. What kind of things were you looking for when you decided to make those kind of moves?
I always liked a diverse environment. It was different from my childhood, but what I knew as I was growing up. So I liked my children to be in a diverse environment. There was always a lot of Indians and Asian people around us, so I liked the fact that they were able to mingle with other cultures and learn about different families.
And Nicole, what do you remember about Paula?
And it's interesting that you say that about me, because those are the things I remember about Paula. She's a very calm spirit. And what I remember is, since we worked together 10 plus years ago, whenever ICP hosts any type of activities, Paula was always there and always willing to not just show up, but speak out and help others on the program. And a question that I've always had for you and would like to ask, why do you think it's so important to like when you attend meetings with ICP or, you know, to speak out about your experience on the program? Why do you think that's so important? Because you've always done that.
My main reason was because when I first came in, and you're trying to learn about something, it's a little unnerving. I was, the program, the whole thing was kind of new to me. So once I was acclimated and I had an understanding of it, always wanted to help other people. That's just been my heart, to be a help to some others. So helping others who are coming in going, I don't know, I'm kind of a little, you know, unsure, I don't think I can do this. Just want to be a voice to let them know, you know, doesn't have to always be. This is a help. Just receive the help. Receive the help. And it's a good thing. So that's always been my heart.
So how long have you been in Little Elm, Paul?
I've been in Little Elm for 3 years.
So what was the housing search process like for you then, 3 years ago?
And it came a long way from being able to just, you know, go down to the to get the sheet of different homes and houses and apartments that were available, to being able to go in online. And I was always good about calling. I think that's what got me most of my houses, were calling and actually talking to the owners and letting them hear my voice and, you know, tell them about yourself. And I actually was able to get a couple of homeowners who had never been on the Section 8 program to join to let me in. So that was a gift to me. But I always felt that if you actually talk to somebody and let them see you and what kind of person you are, they can get past the stigmas of what they think the program is.
What kind of stigmas are out there?
That you're just gonna be a bunch of people just living in my house and, you know, selling drugs or uneducated or, you know, things along that line, that they just felt like this was just gonna be a bunch of people just coming and tearing up my house.
So you've heard that stigma for a while now.
Absolutely.
How does that make you feel?
Not good. You know, like we talked about, it's hard to have people just assume things about you. So that's why I always went out my way to let them meet me. It's not always what you hear or see on TV. Don't let one story that you see on TV just totally murk everything that's in your mind about a certain type of person. Just because it says Section 8 doesn't mean that these are people that are not educated or that are not just good people. We're all just pretty much good people. Are there bad apples in a bunch? Absolutely. You can't get around that. I don't care what group you get into. I don't care what you do. You're going to find some people that are not great. I don't care what color they are. You're going to find that. So get past the stigma of what you've seen on TV or may have heard, or maybe one of your friends had a bad experience, and give somebody an opportunity.
And so how long do you think the housing search took you? Do you remember that far back?
Sometimes it would take, depending on different locations. A lot of times, like I said, I found places that were either just now opening up. It would take a couple of months. Sometimes I had to get the extension, 3 or 4 months. So it was good that they would make you start early if you thought you were going to move. Start this process. Start these things right now so that you'll be prepared.
Nicole, why do you think it took 2 months or more for her to find housing?
Well, in helping Paula search for housing, I know she likes to live in, like she mentioned, certain neighborhoods that are, you know, diverse. There are a couple of things in Collin County that she would like to be close to. So we have to, you know, kind of search for particular things that she was looking for. And so there's not a lot of options in some of these neighborhoods that she's searching for. So it takes time to find a landlord who has a property that would be willing to put their property on the program.
And so when you first met Nicole, you mentioned something about your kids being a diverse community. How many kids?
I have two. I have a son and a daughter. My daughter was a little bit older, of course, and a little bit different for her. But I would, like I said, one of them being good school districts.
When you say older, about how old?
She's 8 years older than my son. So my daughter now is 35 and my son is 28. So
when you started out with the move with Nicole, how old?
Oh, they were, my son was probably 7.
Okay, so yeah. A little bitty fella.
Yeah, they were younger, so maybe even a little younger than that. So it was they were quite young. So it was a process, but coming up, you know, it was just I enjoyed them having, like I said, having all kinds of children to interact with and learn about different people.
How'd they enjoy it? You enjoyed it.
They did. Even though they still congregated to children that looked like them, but. They also had a lot of different friends in these different schools and playing sports, and it also gave them some other opportunities that I don't know if they would have been afforded in certain places.
Like?
Some of the people that they met. My son ended up playing basketball with Tony Hill and Tony Dorsett and things along that line because their kids went to these schools. So he did. He had some things that worked in his benefit that helped him get into certain schools, and you know, they had influence and that helped them to get in certain colleges. So it kind of did work out in certain ways for him, you know, just like I said, just being in different environments. I'll be honest, my son, I don't think he didn't know that we were on Section 8. He didn't know it. And so when he found out, he was a little taken back, but he was like, what? It's like, see there? It doesn't look like everybody thinks it looks. You know, and he had to change his perception of what he thought Section 8 was. You were a Section 8 kid. And he even worked at some of the programs that they had for Section 8 and didn't realize it was because he was on the program. I didn't know that he didn't know. I don't know why. It was just, you know, boys are different. So he just kind of just went over there. My daughter was fully in. She knew exactly that we were on Section 8. My son was like, you get out of here about that. Yeah, she worked in each other.
Wrap up soon, but any closing thoughts, Nicole?
Just thank you for being a voice and, you know, being an example for those that are, you know, coming behind you. You've experienced and you know what it's like, and so, you know, to share with other people who are on the program, that's much needed and much appreciated.
Thank you for allowing me to have a voice. That makes a difference too, because everybody doesn't want that. sometimes. So thank you for letting the people who are on the program have a voice, because we are the ones experiencing it. So that makes a big difference. So thank you. I appreciate all you did. You've been good.
Well, I want to thank both of you. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.